Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Good morning and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Aloha. What a beautiful day, overcast, and looking out over the poly, coconut fronds flowing and blowing. So it's really great to be back, and I think we have a pretty good show, as I had promised, to try and look out and bring some answers to some of our problems here. And while I didn't reach out, we're going to have this morning the Chief Operating Officer of Americans Elect. Now, I won't promise you they have all the answers, and there are a great many questions we'll ask, but it is a ray of hope. As we know, in this town, there's a danger of a one-party town because we have all Democrats, and they do what they want to do, and we're sick and tired of it. And these people, Mr. Elliot Ackerman, Chief Operating Officer of Americans Elect, has some promises and a ray of hope in this process. So I, without delaying it any longer, I hope you listen. And we may not agree with everything, but I think it's a good start anyway. So good morning, Mr. Ackerman. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you coming on and talking with us. And say hello to everybody out there. And what I want you to do, if you would, a little background on yourself and tell us about Americans Elect, if you would, please.
Sure. Well, Americans Elect is going to be inviting every registered voter in the country to participate in putting a third ticket, a nonpartisan ticket, on the ballot in all 50 states for the presidential election of 2012. A little background on me, I'm actually a former Marine Corps officer, served in the infantry and special operations, and was deployed in Iraq and Afghanistan for several tours. But Americans Elect is really opening up the process, removing the barriers to entry that force only Democrats or Republicans to be on the ballot, and giving every American voter another choice in 2012.
Mm-hmm. And how do you propose doing this? Is it strictly internet-based?
Well, it's not strictly internet-based. We actually have thousands of volunteers across the country. We're on over 150 college campuses with chapters, and all these people are galvanizing around the idea that maybe this cycle, this election, we can pick a president instead of picking a party. Mm-hmm. So what we're doing is, at Americans Elect, is we're going around the country, and we've been doing this for about a year now, and we're getting on the ballot in all 50 states. Mm-hmm. You know, the Republican and Democratic parties, they automatically have their lines on the ballot. And it's a big hurdle to get on the ballot. You have to get signatures in every state. But we've done that, and it's going on right now. It's going on in Hawaii. And all those signatures are being gathered so that the people can see a choice on the ballot, and everybody, every registered voter, can participate in determining who that's going to be.
Mm-hmm. And people can go and get information and participate at AmericansElect.org.
Exactly. AmericansElect.org, that's where what we'd ask your listeners to do is go sign up and become a delegate. It doesn't stop you from participating. You're not joining another political party. You're just signing up to have more choice. You can participate in any primary and participate at AmericansElect.org. But go to AmericansElect.org and sign up as a delegate.
Now, how long has this site been up?
You know, our site's been up since over this summer. Mm-hmm. And to date, we've had 1.5 million people visit us at the site. And what you'll see when you come to the site is, you know, we don't advocate for any issues. Americans Elect, we're not pro this or against that. What we're trying to do is get folks engaged in discussion about, you know, what should we be talking about right now? You know, we've got real challenges in this country, but we seem to see Washington, D.C. is more interested in figuring out who to blame, whether it be Republicans or Democrats, and how to maneuver for political advantage than about really putting the solutions forward. Mm-hmm. So at AmericansElect.org, we're giving people the ability to discuss the issues and to start supporting candidates who they think are putting the interests of America ahead of the interests of the party.
Mm-hmm.
And how are you advertising your website or this effort, other than the radios? Can we find it in other places or other information on it?
Absolutely. You can see, you know, we do a lot of speaking with the media, so both in radio, TV, and print media. And we've also done some advertising online as well. But, you know, a lot of this only works when people get together. And it's happening, as I mentioned, through our volunteers, through people who are organizing college campuses. And they're talking about the idea that, you know, maybe in 2012, with all the challenges that we're facing, you know, we're still sitting here with a change election. But what if the change we need isn't just another politician? It's a new way of selecting our leader,
right.
Our chief leader, the president.
Mm-hmm. And I noticed you've been on the Hardball with Chris Matthews, Newsweek, and we have a midweek here, and MSNBC and others, Charlie Rose. And so the listeners, if you're interested, you might want to look at some of the older articles and the Globe and others. Is there any other recent interviews you've done in newsprint that they may be able to retrieve?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we were on Fox News Sunday this morning with Chris Wallace, and we continue to do lots of media, whether it's in the New York Times, Politico. We were on the front page of the Tennessean this week, out of Nashville. So, you know, this is something that's going on across the country, and it's all people coming around the idea that, you know, we can put the country ahead of our parties and our party differences, because, you know, we all know right now that we've got some real challenges that we need to face up to as a people.
Well, I must say, I don't want to prejudice my listeners or give them the wrong impression, but there is a ray of hope, as I said earlier, that it brings some promises and suggest that there is a way of working through this, and there's going to be some things need to be taken care of. And for example, I want to ask you, how were the politicians' answers to the survey questions determined? I went on the website, and I want to share with the listeners what they can do and go there and look and how they can participate.
So what you'll see that we do on the site is when you come and you sign up to be a delegate, the first thing that we ask you to do is to just answer 9 questions about how you feel about the issues.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people quickly see is that, you know, as Americans, we have a much more nuanced identity politically than just, you know, red or blue, Republican or Democrat. And what we've done as well is we've taken our site and we're partnered with an organization called On the Issues. And on our site, we've seeded a database full of how all of our elected leaders weigh in on the issues. Now, what you're going to find out is where you stand on the issues and also where a lot of our elected officials stand on the issues. And it's not just hyper-partisan rhetoric, but it's how these people are voting and what positions they've taken. And we need to, as a people, get organized about talking about the issues, not blaming one side or the other, but really getting down to, you know, how are we going to correct some of the challenges we're facing? Would it be our economy, our wars, or challenges in our education systems? You know, we need to do that this election cycle and start moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Now, I saw that you had a number of politicians featured or spoken to. How were the politicians' views on a particular topic analyzed and extrapolated?
Right, so what you'll see is, as I mentioned, we're partnered with an organization that's called OnTheIssues.com,
mm-hmm.
and they have aggregated all of the voting records of these politicians to see where they stand on each issue. But what we've also done is invited every single politician who's listed on our site right now to, if they have a different response to a question, to go ahead and send us in their responses, and a number of them have done so. But what's really interesting is what you see on our site right now is just a teaser. You know, we've seeded this with how current politicians sit on the issues, but what you're going to see in January is the candidates who are competing in American Pride are going to come on the site, and they're going to be weighing in on the issues.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all about having an experience, a democratic experience that's not about rhetoric, but it's about issues and solutions.
Mm-hmm. Now, some might ask, is this an effort to enhance President Barack Obama's position, or are you supporting one particular candidate?
You know, I think this is a very important point. At Americans Elect, the people who work on this project, we're about one thing: getting 50-state ballot access and removing the barrier to entry for political participation. We're not supporting a candidate, we're not advocating for any issue, we're just removing the barriers that the American people can come and candidates can come and have a more robust competition. You know, this is an opportunity for every registered voter to participate in the presidential primary in a meaningful way, not just people from Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina who are members of the party, but every citizen.
Now, if let's say if President Obama wins this process, does he run for both parties, a Democrat, a third party, or same for the chosen Republican candidate?
But, you know, what's important to notice is this is a really a new it's a new political idea, because we're not a third party. We're a second way to pick a process, pick a president. So President Obama could run on this. The Republican nominee could run on this. But the kicker is the ticket that comes out of it has got to be a nonpartisan ticket.
Mm-hmm.
The American people are sick of the hyper-partisanship. They want to see people putting the country ahead of their party. So the ticket that comes out of this, if it's a Democrat, they've got to run with an independent or a Republican. If it's an independent, they got to run with a Republican or a Democrat. But what they need to do is reach across the political space to pick a running mate to show that they can put the country in front of their party.
Mm-hmm. Now, who is leading your effort here in Hawaii to do this? And I note that Hawaii is one of the first to be coming up soon. I contacted the voting office here, the campaign office, or state registry, and they say that you've submitted, but had not submitted all of the signatures. How is that going?
It's going great. We, you know, we need to get just over 1,000 signatures in the state of Hawaii. Hawaii is a great state. You know, the barriers to entry are a little bit lower, and some states have had to gather in excess of 1 million signatures, like in California. So we're gathering those signatures right now. And, you know, we've attracted so far a great group of individuals who are helping lead this effort. On our board of advisors and directors, we've got individuals who've worked on every single administration since the Ford administration. Folks like Judge Bill Webster, who's the head of the FBI, people like Christy Todd Whitman, the former governor of New Jersey, and on and on. And more people are showing up every day. Most importantly, everyday citizens who want to be able to participate in a more meaningful way in a primary.
Now, here in Hawaii, who can we contact, or how do we reach that party to offer our signature if we were interested? Is there any contact information?
You know, the best thing, our signature gatherers are out on the street, so if any of your listeners see one of them, they'll be noticeable with Americans Elect paraphernalia information that they're handing out. I would encourage your folks to sign. All they're doing is giving themselves a choice in 2012. They don't have to change. We're not asking them to change their party affiliation. We're not a political party. We're just trying to get more choice on the ballot. But the most important thing your listeners can do is go to AmericansElect.org and sign up as a delegate. It doesn't cost anything. It doesn't stop you from participating in any other political primary. It's just about getting involved so we can get our politics back on track in this country.
Now, in going through your website, as we go back to that, most of the, quote, candidates are partisan, and how does this resolve the desire to flatten the partisanship issue?
Sure. If you go on our site right now, and we're building this site as we go with a lot of great input from our delegates, is you'll see we basically just seeded the website right now with current office holders, so you can see how the candidate section is going to work. But in January, we're going to be opening up the site for not only candidates, people who've announced through Americans Elect, and we've had the first few announce their intentions. Former Louisiana Governor Buddy Romer announced that he'll be seeking our nomination this past week. But one thing that you can also do is delegates can also start supporting draft movements and start draft movements for people they would like to see run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to remember that there's a long history of the American people starting draft movements for candidates that they would like to see run. You know, whether it would be Wesley Clark in 2004, Colin Powell in 1996, mm-hmm. all the way back to President Eisenhower, that the American people have gotten behind draft movements. And what they can do at Americans Elect is support draft movements for individuals they would like to see run. And it's an opportunity for everyday Americans to push the best Americans forward into the presidential spotlight so that come Election Day, we don't feel like we're choosing between the lesser of two evils.
Mm-hmm. Now, when will the nominating convention convene or take place?
The nominating convention begins in April of 2012, mm-hmm. and it plays out through several rounds of voting that culminate in June of 2012, when the Americans Elect ticket will be named, and that ticket will get on the ballot in all 50 states.
Mm, great. So will the Standard Party candidates be participating in this process as well?
Everything that we're doing right now encourages participation. Mm-hmm. But remember, the ticket has to be a nonpartisan ticket. So President Obama or the Republican nominee, they could participate. They would need to run with somebody outside of their party. But what we're also going to see is tickets put forward and people announcing who don't really fit into the current party structure that incentivizes people running on the fringes of their party. Mm-hmm. What we're doing by forming this nonpartisan ticket is encouraging people to come to the parts of our political life where we actually have overlap. You know, we're a nation that was built around the table of compromise. Doesn't mean you compromise your values, but it means that you can sit down with somebody and actually figure out how to get solutions to the challenges the country's facing. Mm-hmm. And we're not seeing that right now. We're seeing the predictable and disappointing failure of our elected leaders to govern. With all the challenges we're facing, we need good governance right now.
Now, is the American elects involved in state and local races as well as the presidential?
Right. This is the big and new idea. And so in 2012, we're doing it at the presidential level, so every American can participate and see what we're doing. But the ballot access, our ability to get on the ballot in all 50 states, is something that will translate over into 2014 and into 2016. And so what your listeners will see is Americans-elect in future elections starting to put this system in place for congressional races and more local races as well. And what we're doing is disincentivizing the hyper-partisanship that exists in our government by affecting the way we nominate our leaders.
Now, I want to raise a question with you that I would be concerned with. Is this process going to disenfranchise any group of people? For example, a great many people do not have the Internet.
Right?
Right. A number of seniors do not have the Internet. How will they participate in this process?
We encourage any of them to, you know, go to their local library if they can, where there's internet service. You'll be able to participate if you have a smartphone. This will work off of the smartphone and the browser in that. And so what we're doing is really increasing franchise by allowing every American to participate in a meaningful way. We'll be encouraging volunteers to go to senior centers and other places to get those people to participate.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing is ever perfect. Nothing's ever going to be 100%, and it would be disingenuous for me to say that every single American has access to the Internet. But let's talk about the system that we have in place. So we have a system in place right now where I'm not a member of the Republican Party from Iowa or South Carolina, I don't get to participate in a meaningful way at all. So what we're doing is taking something that is really right now, I mean, disenfranchising many, many Americans and opening it wide up. To participate in Americans Elect, all you have to be is a registered voter, and all you have to do is get somewhere that has the Internet so you can vote.
Mm-hmm. And are you concerned with, let's say, the American Idol factor, where people can double vote and triple vote? How do we guard against that?
Right. Well, listen, this is something that's very serious. Voting is one of the most solemn things that we do as citizens. And you have to be a registered voter to participate in Americans Elect.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of people know that obviously we have a secret ballot in this country, but they don't know that actually voting records are public. So what we've done is we've gathered all the voting records in the country, and when you come to Americans Elect right now, you can sign up with just an email. But as we get closer to the act of voting, we'll be asking our delegates to authenticate that they are, in fact, registered voters. And so come Election Day, it will be one registered voter, one vote.
Mm-hmm.
And the gentleman who's actually leading this effort with our technology is a fellow named Josh Levine. And Josh was the chief technology officer at E-Trade from 1999 to 2006 and led all of their online efforts for secure banking. So we've got the best minds in the industry working on this right now and building a platform that's going to allow us to hold this convention.
So the integrity of this process is it's secure because you know the Internet has its downfalls. And how can the public be assured that their participation cannot be manipulated?
Absolutely. So one of the things we're doing, too, it's an important distinction to make, is we're not having a secret ballot at Americans Elect. We are having a confidential ballot. So we really are holding what would be a caucus. So once our convention is done, we're going to basically have an independent audit that will be able to verify that there was no manipulation in the process. and everyone will be able to get a printout of how they voted in this process as well to ensure the complete integrity of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. So then this process, if we see it, do you see success here in Hawaii? Are you meeting any stumbling blocks politically or anything?
We're not meeting any stumbling blocks. Right. You know, to get on the ballot in all 50 states, you need to gather 2.9 million signatures. We've already gathered over 2.1 million. Mm-hmm. So in 2012, there's going to be a third choice on the ballot in all 50 states for the presidency. And every single one of your listeners who's a registered voter can participate in naming who that's going to be.
Now, I noticed in California, you got a strong response. Can you share the number of people that so far that have participated there?
Most certainly. You know, California is the most difficult state to get on the ballot in, and we've surmounted that. We've had 1.6 million people in the state of California have signed our petitions that Americans elect. That's nearly 10% of the electorate there. And of the people we stopped in the streets and really asked them, you know, would they like to see a third choice on the ballot in 2012, and would they like to have a voice in saying who that would be, 7 out of 10 people stopped to sign up. There's a real appetite in this country for political change and a real sense that, as a people, we just can't continue with the status quo as it's been. We're facing too many challenges, and we need to be able to surmount them with a political system that actually works for the people.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, the age-old question is, who funds you, and how is that done, if you would? Can you speak to that?
Sure. Well, you know, obviously, this is a big deal, what we're doing, and it takes significant funding to do it. So all the Americans Elect is a $30 million project. $15 million of those dollars have to go to getting on the ballot in 50 states. That's something the two major parties give for free every cycle. So there's a reason why we don't see more choice on the ballot. When we went to get some of the initial funding so we could debut this idea and have a site that we could push people to, we had to go to about 50 to 100 people to get the loans that we needed to do that. One of those people I got engaged with was with my father, who helped buy some of the initial money for this. And those people gave the money in the form of loans so that we could start soliciting donations. We've had thousands of people who have come to the site so far to give a small contribution to Americans Elect so we can pay all those people out. But the money we raise at Americans Elect goes to two things. It goes to 50 state ballot access, and it goes to having a website that people can come to. So you're never going to see it advocate for a candidate. You're never going to see it advocate for any issues. And the candidates that run through Americans Elect, they'll disclose all of their donations, and they'll file with the Federal Election Commission just like anyone else. Mm-hmm. All that's going on at Americans Elect is we're removing the barrier to entry. And if you go to our site, too, you can see under our official documents we have posted up there our tax form 990, as well as our audited financial statements. You can see how every cent is spent through American Elect.
And you are a 501c4, not a C3. And can you, just for the listeners out there that may not be familiar with that, can you explain it briefly?
Sure. A 501c3 is a charitable organization, and a 501c4 is a community services organization. So the service that we're providing to the community is removing this barrier entry that is 50 state ballot access and creating political space so that candidates and candidate campaigns can compete through Americans Elect. And then the competition that they do is as political organizations. But we're removing the barrier to entry, which is the 50 state ballot access.
Yep, my guest is Mr. Elliot Ackerman, Chief Operating Officer of Americans Elect. And you can go to the website at americanselect.org, and I think you might be interested in the possibilities here that might give some relief. Are you open to a few questions? I have a caller, I guess, for a comment. Do you have time for that?
Please, absolutely.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yes, hi. I noticed on your website, and you mentioned earlier, that Christine Todd Whitman, the former head of the EPA under George Bush, is a member of your board of directors.
That's right.
You know, I agree with what Gerald said at the beginning of the program, that what you're doing seems to represent some kind of a ray of hope, but I really, really have to question that. And also, I just really have to wonder why. People must have a short memory or something, because Christine Todd Whitman is the one who knowingly lied and signed off on falsified data. on the toxicity of the air in the aftermath of September 11th. And this woman then refused to testify before a congressional hearing. And, you know, why would you... it just makes me very suspicious. It's very disturbing. I think that what you're saying, what you've said so far about the organization sounds good, but, you know, there were whistleblowers in the EPA, Dr. Kate Jenkins, who stated that she had falsified the results to make the dust appear benign when it was corrosive enough to cause first responders to lose lung function and in some cases die. Why would a person like this be on your board?
Well, I think what you're expressing as a listener is obviously, I think, Christy Todd Whitman is a public servant who's given good service to this country. But, obviously as a public servant, you're susceptible to lots of controversy. But the most important thing is what we're doing is bigger than any one person. We've got Admiral Dennis Blair, who is Obama's Director of National Intelligence, is also on our board. There's a long list of people who are engaged in this. Many of them have been in public life. And frequently in public life, you run into controversies. So the most important thing is this is bigger than any one person, what we're doing. And Governor Christy Whitman is somebody who's been inside the Beltway and has seen how corrosive hyperpartisanship is to our governance and what we're doing. But this only works when lots of people get involved across the spectrum. And we've had hundreds of people who've gotten involved in the leadership of this organization and hundreds of thousands of people who've come and signed up as delegates. And ultimately, all of those people only get, they have one vote as a delegate to see who the next president's going to be running on American flag.
Well, my comment on that is that Christine Todd Whitman is a deceitful criminal whose actions demonstrate that she doesn't care about the welfare of our citizens. She's a liar, and she has absolutely no transparency. And for you to have her on your board doesn't make me completely dismiss you, but it really makes me question you. Thank you for the opportunity to comment.
You there, Ms. Stephanie?
I would encourage your caller to look at what we're doing at Americans Elect and to realize this is bigger than any one person, whether she likes Governor Whitman or obviously she doesn't like Governor Whitman. This isn't about putting the blame on any one individual, whether you don't like President Obama, whether you don't like the Republicans. As a people, what we need to get out of is this habit of pointing fingers at each other and blaming fellow Americans for all of their problems and actually talking about what are the solutions we can put together as a people. We need unity in this country, not divisiveness.
But you understand that caller's point. I mean, we can't just dismiss it. If someone's in the political process and they've demonstrated that they have problems, you wouldn't want to embrace them and then go out with their philosophical backing. I mean, you understand that. I'm not advocating or arguing the issue, but you understand what that caller is expressing.
Okay? I understand that caller doesn't like Governor Whitman, but what we're doing is much bigger than whether or not she agrees or disagrees with any one individual. What we're talking about Americans Elected is getting this country together and stopping the partisan bickering that's going on to see a ticket that can be on the ballot that can actually govern, because it's the partisan bickering that's hurting us as a country and as a people. We're bigger than the type of political discourse we're seeing in Washington, D.C. right now.
Well, I think it's the morals and the values that this caller was speaking to and not the individual. I wouldn't characterize it as picking or talking about Christine Whitman or Todd Whitman, but the actual actions and her responsibility to voters and the people of America. So anyway, we understand that part, but your program seems to be one of the promising things that we've been waiting for. It's a good start, in my opinion. And I hope that whatever we can do with this show, if there's some way or the person that you have here locally representing, I would encourage you to ask him or her or them to contact us, and we would like to, and as any other party, you're not a party, but any other effort, the Republican, the Democrat, will be equal, but I'm all smiles with your program, I believe, and I don't want to show my prejudice, but having the knowledge here in this town, you are that fresh thought, or at least a ray of hope that I spoke up earlier.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah. So is there anything else you'd like to add before you go? We got a couple more minutes or as much time as you wish.
You know, I would just like to encourage all your listeners to come check us out at AmericansElect.org, sign up to be a delegate, and see what we're doing. I think they're really going to like it, and they're going to have a lot more voice and a lot more choice in this election cycle than they've seen before in the past.
Well, if you find the need to contact us or want have something else you'd like to share, don't hesitate to call us back or send us an email, because what you're doing speaks to all of the issues that we speak to daily here on the show when we come on. It's one problem after the other, and the American people have simply been stripped. And I think this is one way of fixing that problem. It's not the perfect way, because if it was perfect, then we wouldn't be voting, would we?
Well, nothing's ever perfect in the history of our democracy. Is the fact that it's a living and breathing organism, and every generation has to refresh it anew to make sure that it stays healthy.
And if you could just, in closing, reiterate that you're not a third party, are you?
We're not a third party. We're a second way to nominate. So the ticket that comes out of this could be a Republican, it could be an Independent, or it could be a Democrat. But what we're trying to do is remove the stranglehold that the two major parties have on how we pick our leaders.
Mm-hmm. And that ultimately is what is needed in this town, no matter who it is. But if we can speak to those things and address them, probably we'll make the process of electing officials and the president at this time more accountable, and we can sort through. What I did like about this effort is that normally we only get to see, we as American people get to see the sound bites that national news media, or we go to a stage visit by these candidates. What you're doing here is seems to be affording the voters to participate and ask specific questions of an individual and to compare their voting and all of that to the voters' opinions and perspective.
And that's just it. You know, it's about getting the discussion away from slander and mischaracterizations or fringe issues or wedge issues. It's about talking about the crucial issues of the day, you know, the real challenges that we're facing as a people. You know, our economy, our wars, you know, our problems in our education system, as I mentioned before. You know, we need to elevate the tenor of the discussion and debate so we can move forward as a country instead of sitting around deciding who's to blame for whatever challenges we're facing. Mm-hmm.
Well, I appreciate you calling in and sharing with us, because, you know, even though it's the Internet, I want to make sure that those that are participating or make the approach by your people understand that there's human behind this and there's thought. And you've thought about many of these issues that we face as American voters. So I appreciate your time. And anything else?
No, just thanks so much for having me on the program. And again, I encourage your listeners to go to AmericansElect.org.
All righty. Thank you, Mr. Ackerman.
Thanks so much.
Aloha.
Bye-bye.
Well, again, as we know, all things can't be perfect, and I'm sure I personally would look at this as a person and not trying to influence any of you with this, my comments. But based on what we see in this town and this state, we say it's a two-party town, but actually, and as you know, it's a one-party town, one big party. And that is simply, you're not invited, but you're asked to pay for the party. And all of the kazoos and the hats individually, we are paying for it. And some might say, well, you know, it's a third party and it's to help. I don't know. But again, it's up for you. I thought I would bring this out and let Hawaii have an opportunity and introduce it, and you make your own decisions. Good morning, caller. Have a comment or question?
Good morning. I guess your guest has left, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I just came in when that woman was questioning his board of directors. I was going to ask him what his credentials were. You know, what is his history? Is he college graduate? Was he ex-military? Being the head of a company is like an organization such as this, like just like running for president. You know, what is marital status? Has he been involved with the law in the past? It would be interesting. I think the question I was going to ask him. Maybe we can find out if we go to this website, which I didn't get.
Yeah, Americans, plural, elect.org. Americans, plural. Americans.
Americans, four.
No. AmericansElect.org.
AmericansElect.org.
And he was a, just basically, I'm not going to be in detail as to what he represented as his qualifications. But he said he was a Marine, an officer in the Marines, as a...
He didn't say what capacity was he
He did. He did. You can get that. No, he was an officer, not a corporal.
Okay. Was he a general or...
I don't know, Ed. You'll have to go back there and... but he, intelligence officer of some sort, and
okay.
And, you know, the individual, and I would encourage you to go there and look at it, as I say.
Yeah, I think I'll go. I'll have to see what his marital history was, since Herman Cain is having so much trouble.
Herman Cain wasn't having any history problems. He had zipper problems. Any marital problems. He had zipper problems, so, you know.
Well, it'd be nice to see what this...
As I told all of you in the initial stages of this, Cain was not able.
That's the question I would ask you, where is, where is Abel? Okay, thanks for listening. Right.
Thank you. Yeah, that is interesting. Poor Herman, he came out barking for the Republican Party and growling and seeing... Well, from my point of view, the way I see things, they use these guys. Look at Michael Steele, they being the Republican Party, you see. When you really look at the true blue Republican that we've come to see today, the conservative, the family values man, anti-gayness, and you find out a great many of them are gay and family values, and what did Herman Cain go down and smoke on? Family values. So, you know, this is something you have to chuckle. But from my vantage point, Herman Cain was right out of the hole. It was just, if you look, there's a number of his types that have come and gone, and they use them. They're expendable. They being the conservative members of the Republican Party, what they do is they bring them in, and they have them barking, telling black jokes, and making comments because, see, they are afraid to do that once the ice is broken. They then have a license to, at a minimum, repeat the stupid jokes that Herman Cain may have or the antics that he may display. And this has been something that has taken over the Republican Party. You hear Rush Limbaugh and the things that he say. You know, I heard him the other day talk about the congressman that is retiring. You know, with Obama, President Obama, they just simply... Alan Keyes, if you remember him, he came out and he had comments about African Americans and negative things and we should... whatever. But they use him up. And Michael Steele, they use them up, and they all seem to have the same ending. Their fate results in the same ending, either sex or money, party money. Michael Steele had to step down or whatever, was voted out, whatever you call it. I don't know the full process, but if you remember, they all have a common denominator or some similarity. So it was predictable that Herman Cain would go the same way and experience the same fate. And it's a funny thing that he had to resign, and you have Newt Gingrich rising in the polls. So that should be a lesson to the people of color that flock to the Republican Party. And not that the Republican Party is a demon or a bad place. It's just that know the tricks. Know those that are in place, and not all Republicans behave this fashion. A lot of them want to be fair, period. But again, just know that Herman Cain was, he had a short life politically anyway. Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Comment. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Where you been, man? We haven't heard any screaming.
No, I'm not hearing this one.
We haven't heard
I'm listening. I've just been busy, like, you know. like the farmer that I am. I got a lot of things that I'm listening all the time.
Well, I say, where is that foul-mouthed listener that screams at me once in a while? I miss that.
Yeah, well, I read about you in the paper. I'm keeping an eye on you, and you're doing your job. There's no doubt about it.
Okay.
I love the publicity you get when these guys get all scared. They mention your name. The only time they mention your name is when they're scared, kind of like,
well,
you know, the communists and stuff, you know, different people. But like I said, I'm behind you 100%. About this guy Kane, you had him pinned from the beginning, and so did I. I go, this is a black guy that's trying to take advantage. And you know, if I'm a person, I'm running for the office of President of the United States, and I have some kind of baggage, then you think you're going to get away with that kind of baggage that he had?
Mm-hmm.
And my thing was, he would just deny everything, like, everybody's a liar but me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was like, man, you could see through that guy like with tissue paper. You know what I mean? On the light on the other side. But I'm glad that he's gone. And another thing I like about this now, you hear these guys clamoring about whose votes he's going to get. Ain't nobody going to pick his votes because nobody's going to vote for him once they found out his history, right? So no Republican, a good Republican, would vote for anybody that he says to vote for. Wouldn't you say that?
Well, I would say, you know, they said something that he might throw his votes toward Newt Gingrich, but isn't that appropriate?
Well, that's a kiss of death. Oh, yeah. Because they're kind of real close together in their ethics, you know?
You know,
backroom dealings and, you know, lying right to your face. Like, it's no big deal, you know?
Well,
one of the... he's been around way too long to not have baggage that, you know, once it's all found out, you know, he's a worthless candidate as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it's something to be asked and questioned. How is it that a gentleman like Bill Clinton can come out Teflon man and look at his behavior right in the White House and everything else and may have influenced his policies? Or
yeah, it's quite true. There's always that chance that, you know,
and
they can get that glossed over, but...
Yeah, but you see how they drove Herman Cain out, right? Panties and bras will kill the bra every day. And that is what's happening. But you got John Edwards. They're talking about looking at his punishment and his crimes and his what have you. How is it that they can survive these behaviors, right? Behave in such a fashion when you look at Newt Gingrich. How is it that they can go that far and then have to run Herman?
Yeah, but the record, and, you know, Newt Gingrich, at the same time he was prosecuting Clinton for his stuff in the White House, he was doing the same thing on the outside. He's the biggest hypocrite that ever, you know, walked the face of the earth.
Yeah.
You know, because he was doing the exact same thing, cheating on, doing something with it on his wife, doing, you know, backroom things, you know what I mean, with women and stuff. And that one thing, I don't know, I keep hearing it's not true that he gave his divorce papers to one of his wives and she was, you know, in a sick bed, you know what I mean. So you don't have too many scruples as far as I'm concerned, Newt Gingrich.
Well,
you know?
But that brings on a lot of issues and hopefully... If there's another effort out there, another strategy like this Americans Elect, I'm open to it because we need to change something. I don't know what it is, but when the focus is on his relationships, and Herman Cain should have been beaten back to the, you know, the backwoods of Mississippi or wherever he came from with this nonsense when he stands there and disrespect women and talks about the case and as sneaky as he was, you know. But on the other hand, having Newt Gingrich, it was painful to have him stand there and comment, well, I think he should do what's best for his family.
Yeah, I think as the election process goes along, they're going to be scrutinized enough where everything's going to come out on the table, you know what I mean, and they're going to be exposed for what they really are, you know. And well, whatever that may be, time is going to tell in this election process. And it's going to get hot and heavy here, you know, because they're shooting for the moon, these Republicans. They want to take over presidential, Congress, Senate, you know what I mean? It's kind of scary. If they would run our country, it would, like I said, these guys, the gentleman was just on earlier in your program, he's got the right idea. Let's get another voice out there and, you know, put it in front of the public and see where it goes from here. I'm all for it. I'm going to sign up, no doubt about it.
Yeah, well... You know, and going back to one of the comments I said earlier about African Americans in the Republican Party, also just know that even in the Democratic Party, they were not so kind. I mean, Bill Clinton had the one secretary, the executive secretary, who was African-American, hiding addresses. So, you see, these parties don't really respect us or people of
color. Well, I'm not respecting the Democrats. They're just low-life. It's just the Republicans. You know what I mean? They've done dirty tricks and done dirty things, too. But it's just the philosophy of the Republicans that scares me. You know what I mean? They're, you know, big business and the little man under their thumb. You know what I mean? And that's been their policy ever since I can remember of learning about Republicans, you know. The only Republican president that was any good was, I think, Dwight D. Eisenhower. Mm-hmm. And he was a military man. He'd seen blood and gore, and he did warn us about the military industrial complex, you know what I mean? So he was at least trying to point out certain things. And if you had your ears open, you know, way back in the 60s when he did that, we'd be a better off country. If a lot of people were to listen to what he said then and stifled the Vietnam War, you know what I mean, and all this other stuff that we got has been putting us put into where we shouldn't be. You know, we'd be a lot better off country, less our citizens killed and trillions of dollars in our bank account instead of, you know, deficit.
Yeah, well, anyway, that's something. But let's not forget where we live here, where we have a Democrat Party, and they're just massacring us, ignoring our rights. And
yeah, the Democrats here, man. You know, I was with a guy up there on the Party Highway with a sign, me and my other friend, for maybe 2 weeks earlier in the morning for Abercrombie, and I'm so disappointed. This guy has turned out to be a total failure. I think he even mentioned yesterday that, oh, it's been a rough first year. I go, it sure has been. You know what I mean? You made one false move after one false move, got your foot in this pile of quicksand and that pile of poop, and, you know, between that. So he should have stepped in out there with the city. I don't know if he has the authority when the dump got filled up with all, you know, the wastewater and went out to the ocean. Mm-hmm. He should have stepped right in there and overrode the city. What are you guys doing over here? And investigated and made this. Now I hear this guy, the health department, he's saying everything is hunky-dory out there at the dump. What do you say about that?
Well, I'm going to be talking about that probably next week and getting my records on it. But remember, the things at the EPA, this is why I say I don't want to be partisan. They're all thugs and crooks because they lie to us. The landfill was operated illegally, and if you read that document just briefly that the EPA released, Gary Gill had already told us there would be no punishment, no prosecution, right from the onset. And then he lied that EPA authorized him to do it. But we showed in December of 2010 that they actually had a malfunction, a poor design that caused the whole flooding and all. And it wasn't about storm water; it was about poor management. So
yeah, right.
But look who's in power to steer this, to perpetrate this big lie: Neil Abercrombie and the others standing by and lying. The movie,
yes.
Hannemans, Peter Carlisle, and all of them.
This is him. I put him in office too, man. I tell you. He only won by 1,800 votes, and I was in another crew out here by Dahlia Dimples for 6 weeks,
right,
with our chimes. You know what I mean? And we won this side for him. I met with that guy Pickard in his nice house over there, and I thought he was a little scammer at the beginning, and then all of a sudden, as soon as Hannemann got in office, he gave him a, you know, little cherry job and, you know, this and that. You know, it was what a scam. You know, I felt really being used. You know, I like to see people and I finally found out they've been lying to me all along. So I was a little dummy there for a little while, but I'm freaking wised up now. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially with these politicians. Anything Democrat or Republican, it's terrible for our country. You know what I mean? We need a little third party, somebody with a little bit of foresight and caring for the people. Yeah?
Right. But anyway, we're going to move on, and in the next hour, you're welcome to call back.
Okay, I'll be with you. Okay, I made it. Get somebody on there to make some kind of, you know, ruckus. I'll be there.
All righty. Well, thank
you. Okay, Cal. You have a good day.
Aloha.
See you later.
Well, in the next hour, I'm going to be talking about Hickam Air Force Base and contaminants, and I want to share a number of things with you. If you think that this administration and this Democrat Party is slow and sluggish on managing your resources, financial issues, and what have you, and putting tall buildings, I'm going to take you on a tour and share with you documents obtained from the State Health Department where there's contaminated soil of Chlordane, Dildrin, and Aldrin, and you're going to be shocked. And it's all, remember, this governor, if we call him that now, they say he had 30% and he might be reviving his political career. But let me just tell you, the bottom line is nothing has gotten better. Neil Abercrombie is still the same low percent performer that he was when he walked in the door. He didn't know what he was doing. He bamboozled us. He took us and lied to us that he knew and had some plans. He has nothing but underhanded behavior, and he still has not revoked that policy, that secret proclamation or anything. So I don't know where they're saying his, it seems that he's returning now and his numbers are growing. Don't buy that. He is still the same thing. No transparency. The State Education Department, Matayoshi, she's hiding things. They won't release documents, on and on and on. So I'll be back in the next hour, so we'll see you shortly.
The Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108. Saturday morning, oh, Saturday morning. the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
And good morning again. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. As I had promised to you and mentioned early in the earlier show, I was going to be talking about Hickam Air Force Base and the contaminants and soils out there. And I described it in saying to you, you'd be a little concerned. But first, I want to tell you that when I spoke about the Mr. Abercrombie, or governor, whatever we're going to call him from here on out, I still have documents that I've made requests for, and he just flat out ignored me. So, you know, when people ignore me, I ignore them, but I don't ignore the issues. So we'll be talking about issues. You know that he signed a proclamation lifting and suspending all environmental laws. But not only that, under his watch falls the Department of Health, State Department of Health, and housing, that is several branches and divisions, and one is the hazardous and emergency hazardous evaluation and emergency response office that's called HERE, and you have the solid and hazardous waste branch, which they do a pretty good job. If you look at all the things that they do, the solid and hazardous waste. Now, I had a different opinion when I started off because some things are still broken or not in place properly, but they do a better job. And given the laws that they have and the process, they can't really prosecute anyone criminally, but only civilly. But this HERE office, folks, it's supposed to be the hazard evaluation and emergency response. So if you have a flip truck with oil, you have these people run out there and they have the expertise and whatever. But what is happening within that office, you're finding a great bit of trickery for years now, whether it was in Miley Landfill where they were allowing AES ash to go there, coal ash and whatever other ash to go there with high levels of arsenic. They covered it up, and I don't mean by putting dirt on it. They covered it up. HERE did. And they lied. And when the numbers were bad, they just decided we'll raise the numbers. And when the numbers, we challenged them on the numbers, they said, well, we're doing an assessment. And you simply can't believe how they're putting your life and other citizens of this state in jeopardy with politics. And while Mr. Abercrombie and others have brought money and the pork here to Hawaii to build the housing and man the military bases, they don't really give a darn about the military families or the people. And what has happened, now you take, and I'll read, most of this is going to be something that I read from documents. And I'm going to try and speak to the specifics because of the science. I don't know it all. But what I can tell you is that on Thursday, I telephoned Gary Gill to make a personal request that he provide some answers and someone to come and participate on the show to talk about these things. Not only did I not, as you know, the studio is empty, he's not present, and that's consistent with his treatment of me, and that's consistent with the Abercrombie's treatment of me, but it's okay. I'm not going to ball up in a knot and hide in the closet for that, but what I can tell you is that no response. Gary Gill had absolutely no response and no responsibility, and simply, I guess I don't fit. But what I can tell you is that the pesticide impacted soils at Hickam Air Force Base site, being that Gill is not here, what I'm going to tell you is, and hopefully if there's some inaccuracies in my comments or he wants to challenge them, then maybe he'll come on, and maybe if not, we'll let it stand. I'm not going to sit and misrepresent or lie about facts or things that I claim that are facts. I'm going to speak from the documents, and if Mr. Gill, you're listening, I would say that you should come on and correct these things or add greater light into them. But I will take the liberty today to speak specifically and won't be reckless. But Ed Hickam, this is a document written November 18, 2011. And it speaks to pesticides and packet soils at Hickam Air Force Base site. Improper management of pesticides impacted soils poses health hazards to residents and workers. It's again dated November 18, 2011. Summary: residents of the military housing at Hickam Air Force Base may be exposed to high levels of pesticides in the surface soil of recently renovated Hickam Air Force Base neighborhoods due to improper management of pesticide impacted soil during new housing construction. And let me back up with the chlordane, dilgen, and aldrin, and other chemicals. These three, or some of them, were used to treat for ground termites, and so they saturated the soils with this in and around these structures to prevent termite damage. And the background is the U.S. Air Force has contracted with the Hickam Community Housing, privatized housing developer, to provide housing for Hickam Air Force Base starting in 2005 and has been demolishing and replacing old Air Force Base housing. Soil beneath older base housings was routinely treated with long-lasting pesticides such as chlordane and dilgen and aldrin. If not properly managed, excavation and grading activities during renovation may cause pesticide impacted soils to be excavated and left at ground surface as topsoils where it can pose a health hazard to the public. And the need for proper soil management was first identified in 2004 at an Army and Navy housing. Now, during this time now, in 2004, now, there was a certain number assigned. If the levels were a certain level, you had to take action, environmental action levels. And you would clean it up, or you would take certain measures that you were restricted to use or not use. And there was a term, unrestricted use, as landscaping, roadbed material used like, you could use it as a clean field. And the restricted was the, you could use it on the structures, you could put it under the foundation and then build over it, and it would be contained in theory. But anyway, they had these numbers that they were working on, and these numbers were set. Well, somehow, somewhere, here has agreed, and when I say agreed, they claim they're still reviewing it, but the builder and the people that are involved are moving right along, but they've increased the numbers of levels, the environmental action levels for dilgen or for these chemicals or some of these chemicals. I won't say specifically which ones. But they're not cleaning the area up. The state health department should have come down hard on these people. The solid and hazardous waste branch wish to take legal action and make sure that they do right. But the hazardous and emergency response is actually covering it up. And I don't mean by putting grass over it. I mean the human effort of covering up, concealing, and hiding and lying to the public about it. And again, it's only specific to Hickam Air Force Base. The base at Kaneo Marine Base, they use aldrin, dilgen, and chlordane, and they've been there with impacted soils with high levels and low levels and what have you. But it's rare that an agency would take a certain chemical and assign a level to it so that some entity can work around the law or be concerned with the health risk of the public or the people living there. So give you one act of cover-up. When I was pursuing this some years back, and I've continually pursued it, I approached the health department and said, well, you got this contaminated soil, and how are you guarding the public or protecting the public. Well, we're allowing them to put 6 inches of soil on top and grass, and so therefore the public is safe because on average, the average family is only deployed here one time and maybe never exceeding 3 years. But what about the workers that live there, that go there every day for 5, 10, 15 years digging and scratching and driving and cutting lawns and what have you? What about their health? That's more than 3 years. Well, they shrug their shoulders and come up with another lie and say, well, we're on top of them and we're going, while the other sister agency is saying they're wrong, we need to take legal action. Yet, if you remember now, these houses that were brought in, they boast, Abercrombie and others boast how much money they brought and going to build these homes and what have you. But look at the impacts. The health department does not have the monies to challenge and take issue with an entity. They have to rely on the developer to hire a scientist to get the results. They don't have the expertise. They, being the health department, does not have the expertise. They just have paper pushers there who sit there and nod their head and say, let's do it. Let's get it done. We don't want any trouble. Now, when you change these levels, let me just show you why I speak so strongly about this Abercrombie and this Gary Gill. And that is, when you take an action such as this, and here you are, the levels are this level, and let's just say 2, and because it presents a problem for the developer, you raise it to 6. But you don't tell the public, you don't include the public in any participation. Such a major decision and an environmental decision and an impact should have triggered something. We, the public, should have been allowed the opportunity to participate. So this is the transparency or lack thereof that Neil Abercrombie, and this is his administration now. He's been in about a year, so it's not Linda Lingle's administration. This is the Neil Abercrombie, Gary Gill show. And they are concealing. And by the way, I approached one of the TV stations, a couple of them, with this story, with this information, and I'm informed that they call and talk to the health department and ask questions. So instead of telling the truth and raising the alarm and coming clean, Gary Gill sought to seek damage control and come up with some loose answers, and therefore the story dissolves. This is how they treat you, the public. They keep you in the blind, the willingness to lie. And this is contaminants now. And when you consider the close city, how it's situated to the ocean right there at Hickam and the runoff, and then you got aquifers and what have you, but just the ocean itself. All of the, where does that runoff go when we have heavy rains? And the coral deposits and what have you, and the percolating factors. A lot of that is going into the ocean, not to mention the air and what have you. So imagine, they raised the limits to accommodate, but they didn't raise the limits for Schofield Barracks. They didn't raise the limits for Kaneohe Marine Base, Shaft, or anywhere. Only specific to this one area. That's absolutely crazy. And it's criminal, because you don't treat human lives and you don't expose the environment and introduce these things to the environment because you are lazy and want to cover up for big business. So building the tower of a tall tower is the least of the things that Neil Abercrombie is permitting under his watch. Or he's not watching at all. He's watching more for you to keep you uninformed. But this is the problem. So let's say, I mentioned the 3 years that they say because military families only live there for 3 years. What about base closures? When the base is closed, Iroquois Point, for example. Barbara's Point, Kalaeloa. What happened? People move there, and they are inclined and likely to stay there 10, 15 years. What about their safety? What about the cancer concerns? What about all of those things that Dildrin and Aldrin and Chlordane may present, those risks, those environmental risks? How is it that they can assign and make an exemption only at Hickam Air Force Base for this particular company? So I'm asking the health department, why are you selling science and why are you selling the people down the drain? Well, it's really not. We're still reevaluating it. No, no, no. You gave them orders long time ago and you did nothing. You sat on your thumbs and you did nothing, but there's piles and piles of papers. Now, the sad part about this, I'm going to try and get this one document, and there's so many, but it's scary that they would allow anything like this to develop and don't share any responsibility. And again, how do you take human lives and play so loose with them, with the fact that you're ignoring the chemicals that are present in the soil? You're doing absolutely nothing to protect the public. All that you're doing is to protect the companies. Is that the current behavior of what's to be expected of the Abercrombie administration? I think it is. I think that you would be simply frustrated, angered by this. And I don't know. In October 2009, listen to this, the soil sampling at almost completed Earhart 1 to 4 neighborhood showed that the top 12-inch soil level layer was pesticide-impacted soil. Not clean field as expected. So follow this. They tell them, when you find the pesticide, we want you to take 12 inches off or put and replace it with 12 inches of clean soil, or put 12 inches of clean soil over the impacted soil. But here they're saying they didn't do that as expected. The PI surface soil poses a health hazard both to construction workers now and housing residents in the future. So remember what I said to you, housing residents. So in their own documents, they express concerns, but yet they say the military families only stay there for 3 years, so they're not really worried. How contaminated is it? They don't want you, they're carefully not your children to disturb the soil or to play in. This is a love canal, they just hadn't defined it, and they know it, but they want to cover it up. So this PI soil poses a health hazard both to construction workers now and housing residents in the future. In response, HCH is replacing the top 12-inch layer of soil at Earhart with clean excavated soil from nearby Onizuka. The PI soil removed from Earhart will be moved to Onizuka, buried to the excavation where the Onizuka 2 clean field came from, and covered with 12-inch clean field. Now, this was all taking place back in 2006, 2005, 2007, and what have you. But did they hold their feet to the fire? Mm-mm. What did they do? They decide, we'll raise the levels, arbitrarily raise the levels. And then they say, well, they are raising them because it's based on new information. So what about the contractors who went in and bid it for this job when they're at the lower levels or those levels and they couldn't get the job? And now all of a sudden they raise the levels. So somewhere, this suggests that the Abercrombie administration is playing to big business, and this is one of the clearest examples of that, and with little regard for the human health and the environment. And the proof is that he lifted the laws on protecting the environment, as you know. So what do you do with this kind of behavior? And they say additional evidence also suggests improper PI soil management in the past. The Earhart data clearly shows a health hazard at Earhart 1-4, but cannot prove whether a similar hazard also exists at previously renovated neighborhoods. However, HDOH, Department of Health, has obtained additional evidence supporting the case that HCH improperly managed pesticide-impacted soil at previously renovated neighborhoods as well. So when you see Gary Gill in the street and he give you that smile, but he's a real environmentalist, as you know, and that's the danger when you can assign the name environmentalist to anything, apparently, these days, and give them a job and they become the keeper of the gate. And that's what he is. When you have this kind of behavior and you then approach by the public in the form of the media, and then you tell them everything's fine, just you can go back to bed or don't worry about it, when you know these documents show that there were major issues and still are issues, and your solution was to raise the limits, the EALs, so that you can get your big business from under pressure, and in turn, to heck with the public safety and the environment. And then you don on your aloha shirt, and then it's malama ka'aina. Right. It is not what you think, folks. This is really, really bad. And if you think there is some way, the EPA, I understand the Hickam Air Force Base management, or we'll call them the management, not in the housing, but in the military, is asking questions. And they're the Office of Special Investigation is asking questions as to how could they raise these numbers so easily. And I'm not going to try and speak the science of it because, as I say, if you read the documents, you'll find that in one instance, a company, its workers, were injured. And what happened? Actually was contaminated and broke out in rashes and what have you. That's how bad it is. And the complaint was by S. Jensen of Electrical Contractors Hawaii, an Actus subcontractor. Jensen filed workers' compensation claim for skin rash and respiratory symptoms caused by work-related PI soil exposure. Actus accepted liability for Jensen's claim after an independent medical examination. Jensen complained that workers reports an unauthorized and poorly documented PI soil burial at Earhart. And so workers' notification of PI soil issues was inconsistent and inadequate. The DLIR investigated but found no HIOSH violations. Jensen stated that he had witnessed PI soils being used as final topsoil. So that means they knowingly took contaminated soils and turned around and used it for topsoil. And in some of these reports, it showed that they did a lot of the work and didn't test the soil and just spread it in many places. But the problem is, some 3 years ago, I would have been able to tell you a little different story, but even then, the state health department under here covered it up. And some of the questions, this is give you an insight how it works, and this is from the HERE office back in February 24, 2010. This is what goes on, and give you an insight. The following is a response to questions from Larry Lau. Thank God he's gone. Number one, should we be advising residents to take any protective action? Avoid digging in yards? Avoid vegetables or fruit gathering? Keep kids from eating dirt? Do you think, folks, that a government agency with regulatory authority and supposed to be looking out for our safety in the environment should have the need to talk amongst themselves and ask questions such as this? You would think, as regulatory people and people who are skilled and being paid handsomely for their well, I don't know what they're being paid for. But people are, this is what they say, people are exposed to organochlorine pesticides via the same exposure pathways as arsenic, direct contact and consequent ingestion of soil. In January 2008, HERE developed an arsenic fact sheet attached, which include recommendations for reducing exposure to arsenic-contaminated soil, since the exposure pathway is the same. These recommendations are equally good for reducing exposure to pesticide-impacted soil. DOH recommendations for reducing exposure to contaminated soil. Keep grass. Now, listen at the measures they have to take back. This is 2010 now. This is their concern. Not my concern. This is theirs. When that lower level, now all of a sudden, they raise the levels for no apparent reason other than to satisfy the need for the big business. DOH recommendation for reducing keep grass, other vegetative cover, or some kind of surface material over soil on your property. This act as a barrier to prevent soil exposure because they have contaminated soil and they know they place contaminated soil in many places. And some of the soil is contaminated anyway from the practice of using these chemicals. Keep children from playing in contaminated dirt. Now, why would children be able to play in contaminated dirt when you got a Department of Health that has been managing this and oversight and an army of people being paid millions to pay them as employees with health benefits and everything else? Why would we have to sit and tell the kids they can't play in the dirt when they were told, the company was told to pick up the dirt, clean it, and take measures. Keep children from playing contaminated. Keep toys, pacifiers, and other items that go into kids' mouth clean. Wash hands and face thoroughly after working or playing in the soil, especially before meals and snacks. Wash fruits and vegetables from the garden with water before bringing them in the house. I don't know what else you'd be washing it with, but you can use your own imagination. Then wash again inside and brush to remove any remaining soil particles, pear root and tubular vegetables before eating. This is what the health department was considering and discussing about this contaminated soil. Instead of sticking to their guns, they decide to raise the levels. That means the level's higher, they can abandon all of these rules or what have you, or the measures that they were suggesting or enforcing. Bring clean sand for sandboxes and add soil to be free of contamination to food garden areas. You could also make raised garden beds with clean soils. Avoid tracking soils into the home and clean up right away if soil is tracked. Do you think that we should be in the business of telling people all these basic details, but yet the business that was responsible and being regulated and we should have prosecuted and enforced the law on, but instead we turn to the people and burden them with this? And another question. I need an answer soon, preferably this week. While we don't necessarily have proof of contamination in the complete housing, we have a concern and that the residents should be advised unless we have good reason not to. Residents have already been advised in the resident guide that there may be pesticides in the soil. Now, this is when I get angered because you hear this question in this statement. Residents, guys, that were there may be, when this document is saying they know there is contaminants in the soil, they know that. They know that the soil was being spread improperly. They know that contaminated soil was dug up in one area and spread over another area. And yet, when it comes to the public, they say there may be pesticides in the soil. But under the assumption that if pesticide-impacted soil is present, it would be covered by at least 12 inches of clean fill. They know that they didn't cover it with clean 12 inches of clean fill. They know that. But yet they're writing letters back and forth to one another to do what? I don't know. I guess just afraid to take on the big business because they know the Neil Abercrombies in life, and others will fire them, the Larry Lows will fire them? What would be the reason? We now have reason to suspect that this 12-inch barrier layer may not exist. But yet, they're writing questions to themselves, they being the health department, internally, while the people are out there walking, playing, eating, breathing, and ingesting this contaminated soil. And they're sitting back wondering how they should approach the public. So when I say to you, Love Canal, there's no love here. This, I'm just calling it Love Canal because, as you know, in New York there was a contaminated site. I don't want to mislead you. But we're requiring HCEH to notify all potentially affected residents of this new information. All potentially affected. If you don't know where they dumped the illegal chemicals and the contaminated soils and they didn't adhere to the rules that you've invoked, then what do you mean? Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. This is a perfect example of the trend and the carrying on about deregulation. I mean, what do you want? Deregulation to the max is what this is,
mm-hmm.
And privatization.
Right.
And that's what, you know, the trend of the nation. Oh, we got to privatize everything and deregulate, and this is what's going on.
You're
but,
right.
But I have a question to you. Why does the state oversee this when it's on military territory? Why doesn't the military do it? And I'll hang up and listen on the radio, okay?
Right.
Thank
you. Wow. That is the billion-dollar question because, on one hand, you know, when the military helicopter crashed, for example, and the radiation was out there that we uncovered, and the state says, well, we don't have jurisdiction on the military base. Yet, they're on the military base at Hickam. And why not have the EPA? The reason, what I've learned over the years, even the EPA is part of this. This is this Democrat system. We have President Obama in place now, and even under his watch, hands off, folks. Don't mess with Neil's deal. Don't mess with Danny Noy's pork. You clear the path for Dan and Neil. I don't care what you do. I don't want any eruption or burps in their pork arriving in this state. And so, therefore, Sheila Jackson, the EPA, she needs to be also challenged on this because it should be the EPA's, and the EPA has an obligation to be overseeing this, and they are aware of this, but they're doing nothing, absolutely nothing. And so why are the people involved in this process? The reason is, the only logical explanation is, the evidence point to it, the reason the Department of Health is involved is to serve as a layer of protection for big business. Nothing else. There's no science. They're not producing any documents. You haven't heard a single public meeting. You've heard nothing. So what they're doing, it's called cover-up and crime against the people. That's what's being conducted here, an actual crime in process or in progress. They are actually lying to us without ever speaking to us. They're concealing it. And when I go in as a public person with a minor bit of knowledge, a small bit of knowledge about this, they even bamboozle me and hide documents. And it has taken me some 3-4 years just to get these documents. So the reason they're there is by purpose, to cover up. And the reason, now, when I say that, and I try to qualify, the solid and hazardous waste branch, they're doing their job. They want to bite and tear their leg off. They want to take action and make sure they do things properly. But it's the hazardous and emergency evaluation, or whatever you call them, response. They're the ones, they're the culprits. That is the office that, when things go bad, they hurry and take it out of the hands of the divisions or the branches that are going to do something and holding the people's feet to the fire. and they hand it to the here office, and then it becomes subjected to nonsense. Are we going to do an assessment, an environmental assessment? Or we're going to, we're meeting with them, and we have a document, but it's in draft form, and we can't give it to you because it's not complete. But meantime, it's a draft form, and they remind you that it's in draft form, but they're still acting on the agreement. So if you can imagine the lies that are being told, and they've been told under the legal administration, this thing has went on with that, with legal as well, big money. You see, they brought the pork in, and to heck with the people. And when they now say, we love, you know, I see First Lady Michelle Obama talking about military people and their families. I can tell you where you can start. You can start right at Hickam. You can start at Kaneohe Marine Base. You can start at many of the other military bases where the families are impacted and exposed to these chemicals. That's where you can start, by having Sheila Jackson to send a task force here to prosecute these nonsense, this nonsense and these knuckleheads. But again, it's the Democrat Party, you see, the one big party at our expense. They poison us, they are insensitive to anything about good sense and treating us fairly as people, but yet they tell us we care about the military families. If this is caring, then I don't want you to hate me. This, don't want to do it. But again, should we put the duty of advice on HCH? This is where they're asking, after they say, we are therefore requiring HCH to advise residents of this new information and recommendation on avoiding exposure. Why would a state regulatory personnel have to ask if they need to make the developer or the business, the big business, notify the public that they are living, sleeping, breathing, eating dirt that is contaminated? If this is the statement, if this means, should we make HCH responsible for informing potentially affected residents of this problem, then yes, we're requiring HCH to do so. You see the nonsense in this? While asking the question behind closed doors, and it get worse. Now, the slowness of HCH response is adding to my concern, says this author. They should be reassuring us. They should be. Now, this is the cop with the badge and the gun and the enforcement authority. And listen to this. The slowness of HCH, the Hawaii Community Housing, Hickam Community Housing, response is adding to my concern that they should be reassuring us. Why didn't you just get a violin and cry, have a crying party? You're not a regulatory body. And then, am I unnecessarily alarmed, the author of this letter writes? We're deeply disappointed by HCH's response. Can you believe this? We work with them in good faith. This is the police who pull you over for speeding, doing 100 miles an hour in a 25-mile zone in a children's playground area right there. And the cop gets out and says, well, you know, I asked you, we posted a sign. Why are you driving so fast? It's insane. This is what you get when you have this kind of craziness and people hiring brothers, sisters, and cousins who have no expertise. But all you need expertise in this town is to be able to say, yes, sir, I'll cover it up for you. You and smile. You're going to be the employee of the year, employee of the month, as long as you know how to cover up. And that's what we have here. And to say that we are deeply disappointed by HCH's response. I'm sorry, folks. This is insanity. It's insane. We work with them in good faith and allow them to operate on the minimal oversight. Hello. Crying now because they were so good and gave away the candy store, and now there's no candy for them, and things are blowing up in their face, and they're pouting. Yet, the reality is, there's hazardous waste, toxic, laying on the surface there, and people breathing and eating and sleeping in it. And you got an agency sitting here whining because they didn't play with them. They took that ball and ran. And they're the regulatory body. HCH has been slow to respond to our requests, and although their PI-soils manual as written does present effective operating procedures for PI-soil management, it appears that their actual action in the field have not followed their own manual, which has led to the current public health risk. Folks, this is a regulatory body, a body who can sanction you, who can prosecute you, who can call in the army. And they're sitting here whining because they didn't get a piece of the cake. And the poor people, the soldiers that we're sending off and to fight and leaving their families here and what have you, and workers, civilian workers going there to work and contractors going there to work, living in this septic tank of toxics. And yet the regulatory body on the here is being apologetic and walking softly. Now you see why Gary Gill was picked for that position. He is perfect, the perfect person for this. Glad hand you, smile at you, the environmental type, he should be outraged. But no, he told the media, oh, everything's fine. You know those big pretty eyes he has? You know how it is. I'm not going there, but you know what I mean. And it's that bad, folks. It's bad. If you think, and that's just one site now. And you want to know the real trouble about this? A lot of that soil went to, with chlordane impacted soils from military bases, and right up there in Wamanala Gulch and other places. God knows where and when it was dumped. You see? So, isn't it really nice when you have the guys with the guns and the badges sitting down crying? My God, I feel safe. I don't know about you. I feel like I'm going to go to sleep tonight and never worry about anything because I got them. I got Barney Fife and Golden Pyle protecting me. This is what you got. And they don't want to come on my show because I think they probably know that I would ask them, when are you going to do your job? And how much are you getting paid, Gary Gill? You get appointed. I think you may have a high school degree or something. I don't know. It was a city councilman. But you're handling toxic waste issues that are far, far greater issues than you can handle. And Neil Abercrombie lifting the environmental laws. Well, maybe he lifted them because he knew the people he was going to appoint wouldn't be able to comprehend this. So he made it easy for them. I think that's why he did it. And to clear a path for his big business buddies, who's going to, by the way, give him lots of money so that we can see him another 4 years. Think about that. I'd rather sleep in the toxic dirt over there than to know that he's going to be the governor another 4 years or another 2 years, as far as that's concerned. But here's a question for you. This is the author of this letter. What do we do if TV crew shows up tomorrow? Well, you should tell them the truth. You should stand up, polish your badge and credentials, and stand there. And I proclaim that this site is contaminated with hazardous waste. The developer is failing to do its job and meet the agreements, and we are going to prosecute. That's what you should do. But instead, this is the answer. We tell them that we are concerned and that we are requiring HCH to conduct the soil testing needed to determine how severe the problem actually is. Now, you've already said that they're not doing what you told them, and then you say that they're dragging their feet and they're sluggish, and then you turn right around and say you're going to tell the news people and the public that you're going to now tell them to go back and do what they should have done a long time ago and test it, and they're going to do the testing. What kind of test results do you think they'll show up with? So, this is a sad state of affairs. They're playing with our lives, and they're playing with our soldiers' lives and families. Yet they throw on the lapel and they salute and they respect the families, when in fact they respect the buck. This is what it's about. And then if we do advise the public, we should coordinate with the military. Yet you've been keeping the military in the dark for some while now. The military is now having to ask. They weren't informed by you, the state health department, and the developer or the contractor, that these numbers were going to be increased. But again, here's the answer. Agreed. That's why Keith Kawaoka has been talking with Ron Lanier of the Hickam Air Force Base Environmental Office. Ron Lanier and Daryl Nee of the Hickam Air Force Base Office are CC'd on all HERIS correspondence with HCH. Now, again, under the Solid and Hazardous Waste Branch, under Steve Chang, they were ready to hammer these folks. They documented everything. They were ready to take action and hold their feet to the fire. But somehow the politics got involved, as it is anyway, and you guys hold off and we'll handle this. We'll lie to the public. So, should we add the Navy environmental contact to the letter copy list, given that Hickam and Pearl are merging? Why you gotta ask questions like that? And they say, we have not been involving the Navy in this issue. We assume that the Navy will be informed by the Air Force on this issue at the Air Force discretion. You know what's wrong with that, folks? Here's what's wrong with that statement. They should have notified them because it involves contaminants. They should have notified the public. It wouldn't have cost them anything to simply have a meeting or send the documents to the Navy, because the same conditions are found on naval bases. Same chlordane, aldrin, dildrin, DDTs, and all of that is found there. But again, you see, it's okay when I call up and I politely, and I'm not going to tell you that I was rude to Gary Gill and that's why he's not here. I don't want to suggest that. About as polite as one could be, I invited and asked that he provide someone to participate and provide some answers and insight. But guess what? Nothing. Nada. So I guess you and I will sort it out ourselves, and, you know, I guess the cancer rate there at Hickam Air Force Base, we'll never know, because the families only live there for 2 or 3 years at most on average. And the health department surely isn't going to get that information and monitor. They don't have any testing or anything done. The state health department has it in evaluation and response. They don't have anything because they don't want anything, because Danny Noy and Neil Abercrombie don't want them to have anything, because it would interfere with the money. See, they can't. The less oversight you have in this process, the less environmental regulatory efforts, that costs money. And therefore, that's going to be less money in their pockets and in their campaign spendings and all of that, in their parties and fundraisers. So if you put that money where you should put it, in enforcement and EPA having a task force and funding that and taking some of that money to ensure that the builders and all will do things accordingly to the law, that would take some of the money, and so Neil wouldn't get the thousands and maybe the hundreds of thousands, and the Democrat Party wouldn't get, and the Linda Lingles wouldn't get their monies. Because when the big boat comes in, the honey wagon comes in, whether you're Republican or Democrat, it seems to be they all got their cups and they all follow the honey wagon. And to heck with your safety, to heck with the environment. So again, when we speak and when you see them talk about Neil Abercrombie's ratings, that they were 30%. They're in the basement, folks, if you really want to know the truth. They're in the basement. His ratings are zero, as far as I'm concerned, because when you do and behave like this, and you cover up at the expense of people that you're sending off to war to protect the American way, and then you in turn allow this nonsense to occur. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for a break in this. And, you know, the early hour with Mr. Ackerman, I was, as I say, a ray of hope, right down to the point of kicking the public off the streets, the homeless, when in fact they supposed to have had a homeless czar. What are they doing? So this whole thing, the ratings and the rankings, what I will say and conclude with you today is that if you think that you live now in paradise, I've come to learn and anticipate what hell is like. And I think I'm getting a good picture of what hell will be like. And imagine having to live in hell. And you don't know why you're living here, because they're not telling you why. You don't know your punishment. You don't know that when you develop some rare cancer, some cancer, or some child, or as a soldier, you show up and your child has cancer, leukemia. And you know no answers. And you're not going to get any answers. So Abercrombie's ratings, Gary Gill, you'll never have to come on this show, but you'll be here in spirit, and I promise you I'm going to get a mannequin and sit in here in your honor. You don't have to come. And when you say that you're an environmentalist and the blue planet and all of those things that you walk and talk about, let's show some gumption here. Let's show that you respect the people and not the job. So anyway, I'll see you next week, and thank you for joining in. Aloha.
Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108.